Wondrous, wondrous indeed.
Of course, one of the big stars on the X-Files, and he's making a documentary called The Truth Is Out There.
One of the things that UFO research has done to me is instill in me a healthy disrespect for the things that government says.
They are poisoning our people. There is a population control agenda. There really are people who want to kill off the majority of the people in the world.
If we don't allow these corrupt banks to fail, then the nation will fail, and there will be no recovery.
Don't stand on the sides of the river and comment on how corrupt and dark and evil everything is. We all know that.
I don't need to have you understand or agree with me or believe. It doesn't matter to me. I know what I know.
The name of our film is?
The Truth Is Out There.
But it really isn't.
But isn't there a universal truth that science is going for?
Perhaps the universal truth is what makes us subjective.
Okay, you just blew my mind.
Yes, well, it does happen in every sense of the word. Good afternoon, Emily Jones. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Excellent. Back to peak fitness, no doubt?
Yes, definitely.
Excellent. Hannah did you proud last week. In fact, so wonderfully well. She's coming back next week as well. It's great stuff. Flammy, sunny, marvellous. And good afternoon to your good self, Fiona Williams. Yay! And he's probably sort of wondering, how long am I going to be staying on this line? I mean, you know, I might have just because it's because he's just become officially an American citizen. He's no longer Canadian. He's no longer Canadian civilizing the folk in Nashville. He's fully fledged, true red, white, and blue. Cameron Tilbury, how are you, Cameron?
I'm fine, thank you.
That's okay. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Just a quick sort of heads up in terms of what people have to do to actually be an authentic American citizen. And I use the term authentic quite deliberately. I mean, Fiona obviously was born in Missouri, so does that qualify?
Yes.
Yeah, that's all right. I don't know. I mean,
of course.
Yes. What Donald Trump might be coming up with, what is happening in the world of Hillary, who knows? They might decide that Missouri is no longer part of the United States of America. But anyway, life of that. So we know birth is okay. What did you have to do, Cameron, given that you were born north of the border?
I did the shortest thing, which was be a Canadian married to an American.
Nice.
So it took almost 5 years.
Yeah.
And a bunch of interviews in Memphis and a bunch of money. Mm-hmm. And Thursday I was sworn in, so it was at a federal court, and the whole swearing in process, take the oath of allegiance and then the pledge of allegiance. It was really cool. Very, very cool.
Well, I think a round of applause for Cameron for now becoming an authentic American citizen. Well done. I don't quite know why he did it. I thought he would have become French, but never mind. It's okay. I thought, le Cameron.
No, because I wouldn't want to be French because my surrender arms don't work.
Oh, quelle horreur. I remember it's the Tour de France launching from Middlesbrough on Sunday. That's the Tour de France starting with the Tour de Yorkshire. Just sort of acknowledging our joys there. Lots of pedal power, lots of entente cordiale. And remember, it was the French red, white and blue that actually gave the American Constitution and flag everything else. I'm just sort of standing up for the French there. I know I don't normally do it, but it is 5.5
Somebody
minutes.
Because they're incapable of doing it for themselves.
You know, Cameron, really, this is the sort of thing which will get Tessa Snart very upset. Tessa, who's no longer, well, she's no longer, she may well be turning.
She's died. Sure.
Well, you may say that, but we have lost a Midweek driver, sadly, who has actually passed on. RIP to, and I think you were both here when we actually did a feature with Musical Youth's very own Trevor T back in February. Trevor sadly passed away and is in a whole new world. A little wave to Sue Royce there. You see the way we're building the tension here with Cameron. I mean, when he was just Canadian, we used to get straight in with the piece, no messing about whatsoever. But since he's become an authentic American, as Mary Dancy's waiting outside to be let in, it's saying, any French people out there, let me in, please, let me in. clearly, we wanted to build that whole sort of sequence and just pick it up a little bit more. Anyway, time for the ident.
The truth is always out there, sometimes way out there. With the Midweek Drive team on Siren 107.3
FM. Welcome, Mary Dancy. Yes, it's all right. She's here. Sorting through. Well, Emily did relay to us the fact that you are going to be delayed. Anyway, Tessa is very upset. Don't worry, Tessa. It'll be okay. Tessa's very upset because she won't be on the show tonight because she's knee deep in assignment work.
Oh.
Emily, of course, being a strategic planner, has got it all sorted. It's all done and dusted. Anyway, Tessa is also very upset she'll not be hearing Cameron Tilbury's latest song choice, she says. However, she managed to suss this, as most Peterborough folk did, because even though she won't be able to speak to the new guests, she can listen in from her flat. That's what we are, a radio station. People can listen. It's, you know, it's astounding.
That's exciting, isn't it?
Before we even get to podcasts, etc. So, good news as far as that's concerned. Cameron, you can dedicate this to Tessa. Emma, of course, is also somewhat snowed under with work, so she's not around for that point of view. Obviously, quite literally snowed under these days, because it is what we expect in April time. But it's another Austin Wallet.
I'm just going to laugh. I'm just going to laugh, because it's right now it's 83. I'm driving on the interstate. I've got the air conditioning on.
Yeah, well, you know, each to their own. We personally like a little bit of snowman building in April
time.
Hail
was awful today.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
Hail and fire
and lightning.
Exactly.
Well,
very,
we need something
very
to complain about, don't we, really?
Mm-hmm. Well, it gives us texture. That's the thing, Emily.
We
it gives us texture.
British, otherwise.
It's precisely so.
Yep.
Still to come on the show, Anna Lewis, William Coles, P.F. Buck from Hawaii. Yes, we're back to Hawaii again. Paul Mannion, who actually is currently performing as George Harrison in the Beatles' touring musical Let It Be. Luke Currodine, ace composer. Tomasz Szafanski, director and co-writer of No Panic with an int of hysteria. We'll be live from Poland and Phil Linus. But I think it's time.
You're listening.
Thank you. That woke us all up, didn't it? But it's time for us to actually celebrate Cameron's choice, which again comes from a young man who has been on the show and I think should be on the show again very soon, really, because he, in his university days, took rodeo stuff. Over to you, Cameron.
Yeah. Like you said, we've had Austin on before. And what a lot of people don't know is that Austin is the real deal. He's a cowboy. He went to college in Odessa, Texas. That's West Texas. And that's where a lot of rodeo guys go. He went on to be in the professional bull riders tour, but broke his back twice and realized that maybe bull riding wasn't what he needed to be doing. But he made a lot of connections in the songwriting and music world. And he's put out some great music so far. And this is, he was just in town here in Nashville last week, so we got to spend some time together. He was on RFD TV, taped a segment that'll be on tonight for those people listening in the U.S. He will be on RFD TV tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern on Western Sports Weekly. So that was really cool. And we just had a great time hanging out. So we're playing a song that goes back to his last album. And we're kind of introducing this to the world and getting people hooked on Austin Wahler with this song. And it's kind of the slogan that Wrangler Jeans uses. This is Austin Wahler and Long Live Cowboys on Siren FM.
There's 100 years of history in the thinking going on beneath this cowboy hat. The blood, sweat, and tears and all the hard-fought years just to get it dyed, just to keep it that way. Throwing caution to the wind for the live-beater fans, cause he knows that's what's right. So long live cowboys from now to the end of time. So long.
Let's jump straight to Tessa Leanne Snart's views on this, Cameron, because bless her heart, she sent in an email to which Mary Dancy said she's adorable. Well, I don't know, you might not say that after you've heard her comments. She really, really likes the song, a real feel-good country song, according to Mary Dancy. Curiously, just Fiona, as you said, what a pity Tessa isn't here to really appreciate it in her own way.
Yeah. Doesn't that make sense? This is great. She's like the only person in Peterborough that has taste.
Yeah.
Well,
without a doubt,
there you are. Fiona Williams, currently one of those Americans living in Edinburgh and Lincoln, dual nationality, you see, Lincoln and Edinburgh. What did you make of Austin Wallet?
No, I definitely agree with that, Tessa. It's a very nice, feel-good song.
Very good. Wrangler jeans, do you wear them? No. Of course, he did mention cowgirls, though, towards the end.
So, that's all I wear is Wrangler jeans, starts with a nice stiff crease down the middle.
You're steady on camera and too much information at this time of day. It's not that kind of show. Emily.
Yeah, I thought it was good. I thought it was like straight away from the intro, you knew it was going to be like a traditional country song. And I loved his voice. He's got the proper like country twang and I loved it. It was good fun.
He has the proper country twang.
Yeah, you've got to have the country twang.
Exactly.
And Mary Dancy.
I really, really liked it. Very American.
Very American, really.
It was, wasn't it?
American. Hopefully so.
It was good. I liked it.
Thumbs up then. We're going to rush off hopefully to Jersey in a few moments, but we're also going to go to Broken Wit Rebels, a band that Katie Grimason, Midwick Driver, now based in Birmingham, was singing the praises of extensively. And it took me probably about a year and a half before I actually got their name right, because I thought it was Broken Mitch Rebels, Broken Wit Rebels apparently. And she sent me a text saying, could we please, please, please play this? So we are going to play Low with Broken Wit Rebels. But Mary, would you like to pop those last two little questions, which are almost as significant in their own way as taking the Pledge of Allegiance before the Old Glory and having the American Eagle prepare to salute you. You know, it is that kind of level of authenticity, really. So, yeah.
Cameron, have you had an interesting telephonic link with us today?
I certainly have.
Oh, brilliant. And will you be joining us again next week?
You got it. I'll be back next week.
Ooh.
I just had the news that performing Grand Guignol, playing the Theatre of Horror by Professor Richard Hand, has finally hit the publishing presses, and it's out there. You can actually purchase it. Richard will be talking about that in a couple of weeks' time. That's playing the Theatre of Horror. Talk about theatre. The Globe Theatre have also been in touch. We may well be doing some sort of stuff with them in the not-too-distant future. Of course, another London location report coming up on Friday, Mary. It's Friday. Well, we get a chance to actually speak to Luke Carradine, who we're speaking to on the show later on tonight, and probably do a few other things. It'll be the last day of the Sci-Fi London Film Festival, and if you want to find out what we were getting up to at the North of England Horticultural Society's Spring Flower Show, that's all online and downloadable from our podcast site. That's all the kind of institutional stuff done, but as we prepare now, Fiona Williams and Mary Dancy and Emily Jones for another auspicious moment, because yes, it's time to actually deal with the author of Injury Free Running, : The Golden Secret You Need to Know. It can only be the one and only Bill Coles. Yay, Bill! How are you?
I'm very good shape, thank you. How are you?
Very good indeed. And I think we said before, we have with Fiona Williams, of course, alas, not only born in Missouri, but also resident in Edinburgh. So she can be up to see you very shortly. Actually, you live in the same city, isn't that right, Fiona?
Yes.
What on earth are you doing in Lincoln, then?
Long story. Great courses, though.
There we are. Long story, great courses. That would make us 49 in the top 50 universities, wouldn't it? Yay! With the bullets. And the only way is up, let's face it. Mm-hmm. Celebrate and rejoice. So, quick question, Fiona. Running in Edinburgh, do you do much of it?
Yes, I love going up like Arthur's Seat, Blackford Hills, places like that.
A serious runner then, clearly. That's what makes it. Very good. Emily, in Gloucestershire, do you do much running?
In Shropshire,
it's West Country, it's all the same to me, I'm sorry.
I'm not really bothered. I'm a less serious runner, I'd say, but yeah, it's quite good because where I live, it's all country lanes, so as long as you stay visible and don't get hit by a bus, it's all good.
Stay visible, don't get hit by a bus. Curiously, Bill hasn't actually included that in his list of top scenarios. What are the Huffington Post coming to, really? You know, stay visible, don't get hit by a bus. I think it's Mary Dancy, running?
Yes, I run in London, however it's
well,
not
you have
nice.
To, don't you? I mean, Denver.
Yeah. Run for the bus every single
all
day.
All the time. As I've always said to joggers, for goodness sake, don't run on concrete. Bill, this particular thing, which of course ties ties in with your work as a novelist, because today, well, not today, but the Marathon des Sables, keeping the French theme going, is officially happening this week. What is the Marathon des Sables, please, Bill?
It's a French race. They like to style it as the toughest foot race on earth, though that may be a bit doubtful. But anyway, it's been going on for about 30 years. It's 150 miles through the Sahara over a week. And crucially, you're carrying all your food and gear with you. They give you tents and water, but everything else you have to take on your back like a little snail.
Yeah, and you see, that's the sort of existential stress that that Cameron was daring to sort of pour scorn at recently. I don't know why he became an American citizen as opposed to a French citizen. However, moving on, apart from a little plug for the book, which of course features the Marathon des Sables, it is of course the classic What, Bill?
It's the Woman Who Dared. It's the Woman Who Was the Desert Dream. I've got about five books with the Woman Who, and yes, it's the Woman Who Was the Desert Dream.
Exactly. Yeah, not the Woman Who Dared to Dare. But
no,
the
that
woman...
was another. That's a swimming one.
Yes, exactly. Yes. This is the Woman Who Was the Desert Dream, and I have
yeah,
to say...
she's every man's fantasy, and she turns out to be a mirage, like they all are. Yes.
It's painful, but you know sometimes. We males have to just sort of stand up for the XY chromosome carrying organisms that share the planet with the double X chromosome carrying organisms. I mean, already we've heard today that doggies don't like to be hugged. Understandable. I wonder why the canine world hasn't come up in arms, or at least paws, before.
Yeah, but men like to be hugged, though. I mean, there is a difference between men and dogs, isn't there?
Yeah, but you have to be careful. It's appropriate because, you know, there are certain times you just don't go there. But, yeah, I know where you're coming from. It's back to the cave again. So we've identified that apart from myself, everybody else in the studio does running. It's why? I mean, you know, ball games, I can understand that. But running, no. Anyway, but these top tips, which ultimately, of course, pave the way for the number one scenario, use a massage roller, and we'll come to that in a few seconds. What was it that effectively sort of led you to... I mean, is it from experience, Bill? Is it a case of saying, no, you know, we need to bear in mind stretching, yoga, keeping off the tarmac, getting the right shoes, they're all critical?
Yeah, it would be brilliant if I could learn lessons just through taking your advice and saying, yeah, that's good, I won't do that. But I'm afraid the only times I ever learn anything about running is through my cock-ups and through hurting myself. And so not stretching enough, not doing yoga, these all lead to pain.
Yeah. And pain is the body's way of saying, stop it, you idiot, what are you trying
yes.
to do?
Do something different, exactly. So that's why I'm very keen on stretching and yoga and using a massage roller, which is terrific.
So, Emily, you've had a chance to have a look through Bill's The Golden Secret You Need to Know for Injury-Free Running. Do you kind of identify with these kind of things?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I'm a very casual runner. I'm not quite ready for going through the desert just yet.
One day.
One day, you never know. But I suppose the thing I really need to know is what kind of shoes to get, because obviously you say get the right shoes, but there's so many different words whenever I try and go and buy sports shoes. I get really confused, like, do I want ones with air in them, or it's...
Yeah, sure, you want to go along to a decent shoe shop where the pros can analyse your running gait and tell you whether you're an overpronator or underpronator. That's a technical term, Alex, by the way, which you will not know. But they can tell you the shoes that are right for you. And then once you know what the right shoe is, then they can then go onto the net and just get it all at half price.
Well, that's a good idea. I'll have to do that.
Overpronator, underpronator.
Yes, is that something to do with chewing?
Don't start masticating at this time of the day, Bill. It's a different line in every sense of the word. Don't forget, we're going to Hawaii shortly in about 30 minutes or so after Jersey, all being well, assuming Anna hasn't lost her mobile phone again, which thought we had. The Hawaiian news is that the weather probably will be slightly brighter than it is in Lincoln. But we'll find out from PF Buck later on in the programme. Fiona, any questions for you from your good self for Bill about, you know, obviously, you might have even passed Bill by on one of your running jaunts through Edinburgh.
Very possible. I mean, do you go running? Are you a frequent runner?
In Edinburgh. Yes, I love it. I mean, as you said, there are a lot of great places to run. You've got Arthur's Seat right in the middle of the town, and you've got You've got all these delicious hills. It's all there on your doorstep. You run for 5 minutes and you're out practically in the country.
Yeah,
you
definitely.
Run for your life, quite literally. But we're not playing Bucks Fizz at this stage. And Fiona, again, running, because I hadn't pegged you as a runner, to be honest. But so obviously, just stereotypes there. Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Any running questions?
Any running questions? I suppose actually it's to my fellow comic presenters, actually, because this article, I wish we had like shared it sooner, because we had both the Colour Run and... What was it up the hill?
It was the Lincoln 10K.
Lincoln 10K.
For our very own Sue Royce, who ran the 10K.
Did you guys take part in any of those?
No, I'm training for a marathon.
And Bill didn't get the invite, and clearly, again, it was
too... No, I mean, if I got the invite, obviously I'd have been there. I'd love to do the Lincoln 10K. I guess it's quite flat.
Well, we have got a formidable hill.
Yes. You may forget from your time here a wee while back, Bill, but there is a cathedral on top of a fairly steep
hill. I do remember
hill.
That bit,
yes.
But the surrounding country
hill.
Is pretty flat, isn't it?
Mm.
Yeah, but you're running up and down the hill, really. That's the sort of key thing. Or maybe not. I did this. It's very confusing. But it's worthwhile accessing, and you can find this article in full if you simply type in Bill Coles, Huffington Post. It was originally sort of produced back in the April the 18th of this very year 2016, and the golden secrets. I mean, of the six selections you put forward, the six selections there, Bill. Anyone sort of really flags up as the useful one? Miss Sports Massages.
Yeah, if you're doing any sort of distance running, anything over 8 miles in one go, you want to do this brilliant thing, the golden hour, and the golden hour has to be done within an hour of you finishing the run, and it is so simple, and it is brilliant at helping your recovery. All you have to do is get some food inside you, and then you have to put your feet up. So you just lie down on the ground and get your feet about a foot above your head. So you just put them on the sofa or whatever, and lie there for 10 and 15 minutes, and it helps all the lactic acid drain out of your legs. And the next day, you'll feel the benefits because you'll have fresh legs. The golden hour is a brilliant thing, and all the runners do it, the people who know what they're about.
I think we'll put that to Buck in Hawaii, because I know they do lots of running in Hawaii, and certainly the name that he's actually just sent of the original King Kamehameha is something we probably won't be attempting to pronounce on the actual sort of studio, because it's quite an interesting one, really. It would fill up a register in its own way, really. That's King Kamehameha. Bill, shorter than usual, but nevertheless perfectly formed. Much like life in itself. Fiona, would you like to pop those last two questions in your own unique Missouri Edinburgh-esque way to Bill Coles?
Yeah. Have you had an interesting telephonic link with us today?
I have had an excellent telephonic link with you today. I always have a fantastic telephonic link with you, though it's never... Only Lincoln calls it a telephonic link.
Mm. Yeah, it's what we call kind of classic broadcasting audience research. We call it that, nobody else does, but anyway, carry on.
Great, and would you like to join us again in the future?
Yes, I'd love to, the very moment that I've got anything worth saying. Yes, I'll be on, so should we do it again next week then, Alex?
Well, I think so. I think we'll go with that, because we've also got the return of Dean Wilkinson there, who's just put together a site on... Sapphire and Steel and Sherlock Holmes and a whole range of other spoofs, etc. So that's teasing ahead, and yes, we will say you will return next week. Yay!
Don't ask me why I did it. It seemed like a good idea at the time.
Yeah. Well, hopefully it is. I know we try to reach Anna via her landline. We can't get through on that. We finally get through on the mobile. Hopefully she's there. Anna Lewis in Jersey, ready to get on the bus. How are you?
Not too bad, thanks. Enjoying what there is of the sunshine.
Sunshine in Jersey? That's outrageous. You should have snow like the rest of the country. Right? It's all very good. And as I say, I wonder if they've got snow in Hawaii. That'll be an interesting one. Sorry, I'm building. I'm building, obviously, up to PJ Buckstown. So, I didn't know you actually needed buses at all in Jersey. Surely every place was in walking distance, but obviously you do.
Yeah, it is, but sometimes the journey can be quite boring.
Yep.
It's a straight road, and I live on a really good bus service, but you can guarantee that when you need to get the bus, it either breaks down or is extremely late. And the terrain is not good. We've got an area where it's very hilly, and if there's wind, the drivers are quite reluctant to go up the hill because of the wind. We've actually got double deckers, and they don't like wind very much.
Who does? I mean, let's face it. And those Jersey double decker buses, when they actually go up a windy hill, it's almost
deadly.
It's the stuff that a Hollywood disaster movie would be made of.
It's true.
Anna, I'm amazed that instead of Independence Day that's coming out this year with Emmerich and company, Robert Emmerich, disaster. Exactly. Kessa, what fell down there, by the way?
The bin lid
actually fell off. It's in some strange way blown by the gusts that just blew through the studio. Anyway, as I was saying, I'm amazed that Roland Emmerich, as opposed to doing Independence Day, hasn't actually decided to do a feature. Maybe it's the next one up, about the trauma suffered by bus drivers in Jersey. I mean, Mary, it's got to be a goer, surely.
I do use buses a lot, so.
Yeah. Mary, you were at a session this afternoon, which might resonate with Anna, of course, because you're both English graduates, and you were at a publishing seminar, and it was good news for you.
Really positive. It made me feel so much happier about going into the whole industry, because I think before lots of people had said that, it's dying, there's not good money, or they had just been really negative about it before. But this woman talking, her name was Sinead, she was really, really positive and, got me quite excited.
So you see, clearly Sinead, possibly not living in Jersey, can be really positive about the whole thing. And that's the fantastic thing. I think we asked you this before, Fiona, but have you ever been to Jersey?
No, unfortunately not.
It will happen one of these days, step by step, Jersey and then off to Hawaii. It's one of those
kind of things.
Like a sort of stepping stone, really, on that whole side of things. Well, if we can do Jersey, Hawaii, Liverpool, and then Poland and Los Angeles, I think we can cope with the whole sort of thing. But Anna has to head off. Yes, she does. The buses won't wait for anybody for that sort of point of view. She can also say, hold it, media routines. So it falls to Emily to put those last two questions to her. Go for it.
Have you had a good telephonic link with us today?
I have, yes, indeed. And yes, I would love to hear from you again.
Yes, he's sorted through. Hurrah!
Look, he knows the questions so well.
Here come those Jersey surfers now.
There's no place I'd rather be.
Down the
lingering in the ocean blue.
And if I had my wish come true,
I'd surf till the sun sets beyond the Biki biki mai rohi rohi, biki na la 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 ha, la 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 ita la ha na ha na, heri heri mai tato he.
From Lilo and Stitch, and Fiona's even doing the Hawaiian hula hoop dances. It's just a feel-good moment. I wonder if that can actually be pumping out of the stores in Hawaii, just like the Hawaii Five-O theme. I think the only person we need to ask about that is, of course, our officially designated Hawaiian correspondent. It's Buck from Hawaii. How are you?
I'm great. Aloha and good morning to you all.
Indeed, aloha, because although in Lincoln, England, it's just coming around to 18 minutes to 6 p.m., which is evening time here, as the umbrella-wearing people are wandering through the streets of Lincoln, the shelter from the hailstones and rain that we've actually got. In Hawaii, what time is it, Buck?
It's 6:41 a.m., and I'm sitting here with every door and window possible wide open, and just with shorts and a t-shirt on and barefoot.
So not a great deal of difference then, really, in many ways. You know, feels that we've bonded through the whole thing. Yes, yeah. I did like Buck's little review of the last show, because it said it sounded as though he was a little bit quiet, and was it because he was so far away? No, we just shout very loudly, Buck! It is a long way, actually. Two tin cans. We've turned up his gain. Hopefully all's well for the podcast from that perspective. But you were in Honolulu, and obviously you heard the Hawaii Five-O theme song. So is this one of the things that clearly throughout Hawaii, the Steve McGarrett 5-0 theme, whether it's Jack Lord or indeed Alex O'Loughlin, is it still, you know, very much part of the intrinsic aspect of the island?
Well, you know, I think it really put Hawaii on the map for, you know, it through television at that time. And so I think it really brought the attention of Hawaii to a lot of people. And so in Honolulu, which I was in last week, you know, on another island, you know, there's a lot of people, a lot of tourists there, and so it kind of brings it home for them. But it was really cute. I was just walking down the very busy street with all their souvenirs and everything, and there it was, the Hawaii 5-0 theme blasting, and it made me think of you. And they were selling T-shirts and, you know, Hawaii 5-0 on them, and things like that. So it was pretty cute.
Well, you know,
I do.
We like to feel that we're on the same planet, and in some strange way, we can actually influence it. It's a bit like that butterfly waving its wings in parts of Hong Kong or China, causing a typhoon or tsunami in other parts of the world. Not that we intend to send a tsunami to Hawaii, because it would be very scary, and we wouldn't like to do that at all. Really, it's not good.
We
agreed on that. But the other thing was, you were also corrected by a friend. Oh, interesting. Nameless friend, but corrected by a friend about the King Kamehameha statue. The one we see on the show, that's Hawaii 5-0, is indeed in Waikiki. And Buck, you saw it up close recently. However, there's a statue of him in Hawaii, on the Big Island, born in the district of Hawaii on Kahala, which is the Big Island's oldest volcano. And, of course, Buck has decided to give me the challenge of pronouncing his full name. He refused to actually say that. I mean, Mary, you don't want to pick this one up, do you?
I think pass. I think it would be interesting to hear you say it.
Well,
I'd have to actually find the email I sent you
I will attempt to actually work through this, because clearly, Buck, you've got to bear in mind with me, you know, I'm you know, from Europe, so
well,
different line.
Before you start, let me tell you that it's Havi, not Hawi. And that everything in Hawaiian is pronounced just like Spanish.
Oh,
you pronounce every vowel.
This is not going to work. But Kalani Pa'eo Vahi or Kalakini Kahalikini Kamakamea. No, it's gone completely. Halfway through and he collapsed totally on that basis. We'll leave that there. We might put it up.
You did pretty good. You got there.
Yes. That's only through watching extensive episodes of Magnum PI and Hawaii 5-0. You know? I won't even talk about Lost, because that was a different island, but still. Because the Midweek Drivers have been going crazy since you were last on, Buck, demanding and insisting that rather than Harrogate, I don't know what's wrong with Harrogate to Hawaii, they both start with an H, or indeed Jersey, we should make our way to Hawaii to actually touch base with the good stars. So how is the season, is it a case of there isn't such a thing as a season in Hawaii, it's a case of the season's wonderful all year round?
It's really nice here all year round. It really is. I don't know what it is in centigrade, but in the 22 years I've lived here, the hottest I've ever seen it was 94 degrees, in Fahrenheit, and the coldest was 59 degrees. And so we don't have the four seasons like most places do. We have a hot season and a wet season. And so there are times when tourists will come and they're disappointed because it's rained on their whole trip, but that doesn't happen a lot, you know. But we do get a lot of rain here, but that's what makes everything beautiful and green. And when but you'd be used to the rain from being from UK, and but also it's not a cold rain, you know. It just rains for 5 minutes and then it stops and then the sun comes out, and if you happen to have gotten wet, you get dried off again pretty quick. So it's quite nice. But people tend to really like to come. Our busiest season is when it's coldest everywhere else. So December, January, February, those times are when we really get the big flood of people come wanting to come, because it's just, it's beautiful weather when it's really cold for them at home.
Fiona, carry on.
I was going to say, I heard you ask about snow on the previous talk.
Exactly.
And it does indeed snow here on the Big Island. Mauna Kea is over 13,000 feet, and it does snow on the top of Mauna Kea and sometimes on the top of Mauna Loa. And so people, it's really kind of cute because you can see, you can be at the beach and with a palm tree and see a mountain in the background with snow on it, you know? And people go up there and they'll fill up their trucks with snow and then come all the way down and make snowmen on the beach. Of course, they don't last long at all, but it's kind of a fun thing to see.
And some horrid folk were thinking it was some sort of drug problem you had. No, it's all right. It's genuine frozen water. It's good stuff, honestly. Fiona, any questions for yourself?
Have you been up to much since we last spoke?
Have you been up to much? It's a wonderful, quaint phrase. It's great. But have you been up to much, Buck, since we last spoke with you?
Have I been up too much? No. What do you mean?
Have you been busy? Has anything interesting happened?
Oh, have I been up too much? Yeah. Okay, I thought you meant
She's from Missouri,
like,
Buck. She's from Missouri, and in Missouri, as I said, I'm amazed it's still part of the United States of America, let alone anything else.
Well, I had one too many martinis last night, so it was a little hard getting ready for you guys this morning. But no, I've been up to a lot. I'm very busy here with my guests, and I really like to take really good care of them, and I always serve them really delicious coffee every morning, and there's always a turnover here and beds to make, and I have an amazing collection of orchids. I really like orchids, and so I'm always making things really beautiful around here, and there's a constant work to be done here, constantly.
And you can add, of course, now, Buck, to your guests. I mean, although they're already amazed by the awesomeness of your location and your good self, regular international correspondent for the Midrick Drive.
Well, there you go. I love that. I'll put that under my hat.
Exactly. I can tell you already, there aren't any other Hawaiian guest places that can actually make that claim, you know? So it's already marking out as somewhat special. Emily.
There you go.
So when can I come, I think, is my question. Oh, it sounds amazing. I'm so jealous. I mean, we're sat here with the weather, like, hailing, snowing, it's cold, it's wet, and then you're talking about palm
beaches.
It's
a British summer, you know, we're in summertime. That's what we like. Just imagine us at the top of the mountain in Hawaii, you know, that's what, top of the mountain.
That'll be my happy place for while I'm doing my assignments in the next few weeks.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, you just gotta look at my schedule and see when I've got openings. And you can do that by going to sunrisecottageshawaii.com.
Brilliant. As you see, seamless professionalism. Your neighbour, of course, was also introduced to us via Lana, who we haven't featured as yet, but would you like to give him a quick name check? Because I know he'd be sort of is keen to obviously promote the wondrousness as well. So, Buck, a quick name check for your neighbour?
For J-Ro, jrohealing.com, yes.
J-Ro Healy.
Absolutely. He's really incredible. Incredible guy. He'll tell you a lot about energy and people, and he's quite gifted.
You see, J-Ro, we hadn't forgotten you, just in case you thought, you've always forgotten me because Buck's so good. No, we said we'd return, and we will return. And we will, of course.
I like to call him the flamboyant clairvoyant.
That's brilliant.
The flamboyant clairvoyant. That sounds like a series. Well, I should put that to Phil Leonis, actually. You know, look at the flamboyant clairvoyant. It's very good. You may well have heard of a little band from Liverpool called the Beatles, Buck, that were pretty good in the 60s. Had a number of sort of hits and sort of worked our way through that. Looking for their international tour. I don't think they actually get to Hawaii. They do actually make it to the Darlington Civic Theatre, but they actually have got a wonderful tour that's going extremely well called Let It Be, which, strange enough, obviously deals with our region. Oh, hang on. I'll just look at North America for the tour dates here. Mm-hmm. And in terms of North America, no, we haven't got any dates at all in North America as yet. So there we that will be happening. International, have we got any international dates coming through? And again, we'll be coming up for that. We will be speaking to the gentleman who portrays George Harrison in the musical Let It Be. That's Paul Mannion, who will be joining us in a matter of moments from, I believe, his current base in Birmingham. So that's exciting. But Mary, before we wish a happy Aloha, although Aloha is great in Hawaii because you can say it to say hello and say goodbye. So as opposed to the Beatles, hello, goodbye, it's Aloha, Aloha.
Aloha,
Aloha. That's in sort of French, Aloha, Aloha, perhaps. Maybe
yeah,
not.
Now,
don't forget to put your pronunciation on that H. It's okay. Aloha.
Aloha.
Aloha. Aloha. Aloha. Aloha. Of course. We haven't even got a chance to speak to Buck about his views on Lilo and Stitch and whether they still perform in the island, but still, they are, of course, cartoon characters made by the Disney Corporation, so maybe you can't find them in Hawaii, but it's a great tune anyway. Anyway, Mary, go for it.
Yes. Have you had an interesting telephonic link with us today, Buck?
I have had a wonderful time, yes.
Yay,
absolutely.
Great. And if we can't do a location report with you, will you be joining us again next week?
Oh,
I would love to.
I'm going to keep dropping those lines in, Alex, until you learn that you want to go see Buck.
It will happen, I'm sure. Okay. It will happen. Aloha.
It'll be my pleasure.
Aloha, Buck. Aloha.
Aloha.